He is a cartoon character.
You got a white
but
wife.
It was so good, though. It was not even a cartoon thing. Like, everything about that was really good.
Anyway, Greg's like a cross between Foghorn Loghorn and Bugs Bunny. He's a mix of those two.
Foghorn Loghorn.
Hey, yeah, that's kind of energized by CKLN, you know.
Like, oh, Greg wobbles around on the street level. Watching all the different factions. So he knows the factional arguments. He knows the people's talk. And so he could do the black guy because he's heard him on CKLN for years. You know? He knows what they say.
Yeah, I remember Greg Kane, he said...
Bob, I wanted to ask you more about that because there's no way they could teach that in school because it changes so fast. As soon as they write a curriculum...
Teach what in school?
Ebonics.
Yeah,
as soon as you write a curriculum down, it's obsolete, and everybody, like, by the time white people are using that language, black people are onto something else already. And I've always been fascinated by it because it's so creative.
Maggie, part of slang is a way to assert your difference from the other gangs, the other tribes, so you're always going to change it because you're going to not let your competition catch up to you.
That's right.
So by nature, it has to change because it's part of the competition of oral interaction, which is competitive.
I have something to share about the Ebonics. I in Switzerland, I have a hard time. I speak High German. And
Hochdeutsch.
Yeah, Hochdeutsch. When you hear Swiss German is almost like German Ebonics. So it's not a racial thing. I mean, because... I've had people.
Same as Bavarian German, Schwabisch.
Well, have you ever heard Swiss German?
I have. No, I mean, okay, it's not the same, but it is similar in that it is a very distinct dialect.
My question is, have you? Okay, it depends on the area you speak with someone who speaks it.
Yeah. No, I can't speak it.
I can't either. I can't either. But it sounds like Ebonics because I had someone send me an SMS in Swiss German, and I could not fucking understand none of the words. It was almost like Ebonics because it was the normal words or, you know, normal German words have at least 9 letters, and this was like 3 or 4.
Yeah, everything's abbreviated. That's right. They swallow half the syllables. Yeah.
Yes. So it's crazy. But, Bob, why does Clinton block on the 5-body model? I don't understand that. He claims to be a fucking...
That's a great question.
Experts on McLuhan, and he should be really observing yours because you're the McLuhan's completion and some. So I don't understand that, why he couldn't even grab that. He was blocking hard on that 5-body. Bob there?
When Michael and I were on there that one time, not last week, but the week before, I could really feel Clinton pushing
resistance.
You know, making wisecracks about cults and stuff.
Yeah. There's some blocking in there, but I was like, why are you, you know, why aren't you grasping this? Because this is like the completion of everything you're looking at and reading.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it to be complete.
I can get what it is. It's hard to explain, but there's a resistance, and he believes that that resistance maintains his identity and keeps him sort of independent and sort of free. But what he's not getting is the release of that resistance will give him what he's looking for. But you can't know that until you choose to give up that resistance, because the resistance is the biggest problem in everything. Iron has been telling us zero resistance to anything. And so it's a feeling that he feels he will lose something by giving up his resistance. And it's actually the opposite. He will gain the capacity to empower himself by doing so. But
Gotta
give it all.
I think he wants
it all. right?
I think he wants to feel successful. Yeah, he wants to feel
but what
successful.
The fuck is that at this time? What the fuck is that?
Right.
The house is on
that?
Fire. The Titanic right. is sinking, and I want to be the best violinist on the fucking deck.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Excuse me, expression. I'm getting ready to say something vulgar, ladies, but he shot himself in the dick when he first came on. And Ion was trying to get him to jump on the cloud and get into
totally.
The computing. And he fucking just went off. I'm like, you just shot yourself in the dick. Poof.
Yeah.
What the fuck? You could have jumped on that with his, you know, computer thing. And I was like, well, he missed it. He made a U-turn. He probably won't come back. And it looks like it when he totally went against blocking him the five body. Because I listened to the little girl. I call her a little girl, but she's a young lady. And she really presented herself. But she could have went a lot deeper with Bob's knowledge with the five body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and would they have aired it, though? Like, if it's too deep, it's not going to be on TV.
Well, look, I did the five body in German to a lady counselor, like, 3 years ago,
Holy
and she said it was
Mozart.
Too esoteric. She was too esoteric. I was too esoteric. And I
yeah.
just said, "Du hast five Kopers." And I explained it to her in German. She's like,
Körper.
Yeah, she's like, oh, that's just too esoteric. That's so esoteric. Really
and I explained
even
it.
They will, yeah.
I explained it to a guy in Vietnam who was. He calls himself
in
a banana. No. He calls himself a banana. So he's yellow on the outside and white on the inside. And and so he had some cultural, you know, cross catching going on. Anyway, he knew enough about Western culture and English that I could explain the five body model to him. His response was, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it's normal. Like, he didn't have any insight about it or, like, eureka moment or epiphany with it. He just took it like it was, you know, just like,
obvious.
Yeah. I mean, just, that's like rice. I'm eating rice. Like, no big deal. I'm like, what? Like, no. Like, this is not like, yeah, no big deal. Like, this is, you know. So that was the other side of the coin that I was not anticipating. Like, wait, what? Like, this is just
that
falling flat.
Makes sense
I don't
Vietnam,
know.
Vietnam, where they have, did it fall flat though? I don't know if that's a flat falling. It's something else because they're very, I mean, they believe in the etheric way more than Westerners do. You know, the whole ancestor thing, and they do weird, like, almost voodoo stuff over there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
you know
the Eastern modality,
have, yeah.
right, yeah, made it easy to accept. Yeah, it's very environmental, and that's a good point, Maggie.
And they're more oral.
How allowed is it to say, I don't understand a thing you're saying?
I feel very loud. I say it all the time on this
yes,
show.
Yes, you, but in Vietnam, for this guy, is he, can he say, I don't understand what you say? He has to just not comment on it.
In that culture, is there permission to say, I don't understand?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So
I think it,
instead of
yeah,
saying anything, we just push down the carpet and go, banana, more banana talk.
Yeah, I think he definitely was engaging and responding in ways that showed me that he understood. But you're
okay,
right. You're right to pull that, especially for men, there would be more of a safe faith aspect there. I think when kids are learning English and they don't understand, they feel more comfortable to say so. But yeah, that's a really good insight. Era.
Yes, and if
culturally,
if you learn a language,
it's
something technical. You can discuss it, but this is a rather big concept. And, you know, if it's a too big gobble, he simply can't swallow it. And then it just passes over. I know many things Ian and Bob has talked about. I mean, it has taken more than a year to get through those things, and now we are here. Still talking about them and sifting through the fibers 13 years later.
It's an interesting topic for Bob to discuss because it's like, what has it been like for you, Bob, to share your tiny note chart throughout the decades and with different demographics. Like, how has it been to actually try to translate it to people? What has Bob experienced? Because, like, Bert talking about sharing it, these are interesting things. Like, hearing about us
German.
Try
Ian
to...
Is the nut.
Look at the chat.
For Bert to do that in German is incredible.
Hey, Ira, make sure you read the chat.
What's he doing?
Ian is a nut. He's a fucking nut.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, please, Bob. Absolutely.
This definitely isn't the Abrahams, guys.
No, it's not the Abrahams, right?
Well, that was rude. That was rude, Ion. I'm sitting here eating, and you come up with that. Sometimes
why
did
they say that? I don't get why they say that. Oh, my God.
I can't hear.
Ion is nutty, boy. He's... That,
okay, it's all distraction. This is Ion.
It is a distraction, yep.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. I had a dream of...
I just can't believe how funny this is. Like, all these other fucking... these, like, mediums
annoyed.
And shit that are trying to act all serious at their seminars and everything. And, like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Away.
And then there's this fucking wide-ass open just insanity here. I mean, it's great, though. I mean, if you're gonna, if this is what existence is like, that you get to the final boss and it's fucking, they're fucking
what?
Laughing, you're laughing your ass off. I mean, that's just better than, that's a great.
Do I eat too much?
No, he was talking to me. I'm sitting here eating, and then wanted to comment on something, and then he has to... comment in that way. Yeah? Fuck off, Ion.
Well,
don't do that.
Like, okay, so when they talk about gag reflex, that's just resistance. That's just resistance.
Hey, Madeline, did you see what Ion said about your push-ups? Why your push-ups are easy?
Oh, no. Where, no, what did they say? What did they say?
Because your boobs got
how
bigger.
How far back is it?
So you don't have to go as
well,
far
see,
down.
Yes. I just had a dream
that's
that my dick got smaller and I was overjoyed. They do not need to be any bigger at all. I want them to be small. I want Carolyn boobs.
But the, I remember Ian was talking with us about where humor comes from, and it was something that comes from non-physical. I don't have that note in front of me, but I remember that the humor comes from non-physical. And that's what they do. They know how to push the buttons to make it really funny.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay, I just did two, and then I fell down.
Well, that's twice as many as I used to be able to do. I'm literally doing push-ups right now, you guys. Wait. Three. Four.
Hey, Bob's been gone a while, huh?
Six.
Fun for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, but normally he's back by now. Maybe he got through the wall, like Ian said.
Yeah, through the wall or into the car.
Okay, I said I could do nine. I said I could do 10, but I can only do 9.
I'll do the other eyelid.
No, I literally just did 9 push-ups, and previously I could only do 1.
That's cool. Your body's changing.
Oh, it absolutely is. There's no question. Hey, so actually, you know, when Ion said to Jack, have you looked at your calves and seen that they look different? And that was amazing to me because the week before, or like 5 days or something before, I had looked at my own calves and said, what the hell? They look completely different. And it's like I used to be bulkier, and now it's sort of stringy. Like I noticed my forearms and my calves are more defined, but it's stringy-like. What?
Yeah. Changes.
Stringy?
Changes.
Yeah, like, yeah, string, like, elongated, not bulked out.
More tendon-like instead of
tendon-like
bulky muscle. That's what Ian said a few weeks ago.
I mean, they don't look at all
I also
same
have
under
a
my
cough
skin. Like, it's more defined. But I also, I'm a kind of a beast at work. I can do anything, but I can't,
You're shifting more to tendon, so it's going to look different. I'm noticing the change also.
I don't like the look, I'll tell you that. I'm not appreciative of it. But I like the way it feels, though, because I do feel strong. I feel vigorous. I feel strong. I feel unstoppable. But at the end of the week, when I do stop, I collapse. I slept through most of the show last night. Then I laid down at 3 p.m. thinking, cool, I'll have at least a five-hour nap, and I'll get up and listen to the show. No, that's not what happened.
How's your restructure, Adela?
How's my what?
Restructure.
In all honesty, that's the only product that I'm taking every single day.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I've had.
Is anyone noticing anything other than a bit of tendons, other than around the ankle area? I mean, I've noticed
ankles.
That's
feet,
the area where I really noticed.
Feet, wrists, hands, toes, ankles, knees, hips.
Feel, God,
the hips hurt.
Right. Shoulders, knees, and toes.
If you stretch your toes, like really bend your toes, really overly bend your toes, it'll help. And then do the other side is sit on your feet, so you stretch your feet the other way. Because that's what I'm finding. I have to stretch my feet, like stand on my toes and do calf raises, but then also just pump my toes up and stay there, but then do the other side. And when I go to the other side of sitting on my feet, my arches cramp like crazy as fuck. So you got to stretch your feet both ways to get the toes and the arch and go all the way up into the Achilles. Because that's what I'm finding is I injured my Achilles tendons a long time ago when I was a kid, and I'm finding that my calves and my Achilles are really weird, really, really, really weird. So, but that's the largest tendon in your body, so you will feel it probably in the lower extremity from your knee, you know, the back of your knee all the way to your toes. That's natural because that whole area is going to become tendon with the muscles.
Really, the heels that I'm noticing the most, but...
Yeah. I snapped my ankle when I was 17 playing football on ice skates. So, I'm dealing with the right foot. Yeah, I was fucking stupid. This, when you're made out of rubber, when you're made out of rubber and you can run like a deer, you try to do it on ice skates, and I can remember like it was yesterday, but I'm dealing with the healing part of that. And there are times where it's funny, right before Ion told us that the muscles would turn to tendons, I would wake up in the middle of the night with a tendon cramp, not a muscle cramp. A tendon cramp is really a different thing. And they would go all the way to my toes, cramp with the tendons. So that whole area feel is really weird for me.
Do you feel you get more of these issues, either A, because of your previous injuries, or B, because you're naturally more of a squat sort of build, whereas, for example, I'm about 6 foot tall, but I'm slim, so my limbs are long, like not beefy and squat.
I can't say because my hip issues, I tore my groin muscle when I was sleigh riding. Winter sports were terrible for me. But anyway, I tore my groin muscle, so I had a left hip issue from the groin muscle, but actually I have more pain now on my right hip than my left, which is really fucking strange. So,
well, your right might have been trying to balance out the damage on the left.
Well, that's in theory you could say that, but I'm stretching like super yoga stuff, and it it's okay after about a half hour, and then I sit, and then it feels like I've been squatting. It's just adjustment thing. I mean, you talk about turning muscle to tendon. I mean, turning muscle into tendon, and that's never, ever been done before, ever.
Mm.
So it's not going to be fun. Just have to work through it.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I don't like about it is when it wakes me up at night, the pain just is like, oh, God. But during the day, I don't have that. Like, I feel so strong during the day. It's crazy.
Hey,
well,
Chad,
you
still there, Chad?
You...
Yeah, Bob.
We're all here.
I want to tell you something. You can't use these cues to fall asleep. You now interrupt Greg. You tell him other stuff. I can't argue. I hold myself back because Greg will think I'm mad at him and he'll quit. He's very sensitive that way. He's looking for any indication that I'm pissed off at him. So I don't give it to him. Mm-hmm. But there are things I could say, or the McLuhan level, you can say, do not listen to him for very long. See, you
Sorry,
come in here.
No, are, you you're, saying, you're, are you telling me to say, okay, you're telling me don't listen to him too long.
Yeah,
stop him,
you've been patient. You knew. You come in, you're being polite. You let him go on for 2 fucking hours with his stupid stories. And it's going to make you fall asleep. Now, you've been there long enough, you got an alibi. Greg, I've been here. I noticed the pattern. I'm not letting you go on too much because you don't get us anywhere. And you start criticizing what I would say to him. You say it to him.
Okay.
Because Greg, he's of the street. You know, he didn't go to college. He was a, you know, pretty advanced animator kid. And he got scouted in England when he was 17. So he went over to England and worked with these adults and missed his whole college peer group thing. That's why he remained a virgin for a long time. So he was hijacked like somebody in hockey or something. So he was removed, and then he was always out of sync with everybody once he got old enough to get back in. So the thing is, Chad.
That makes sense.
What makes sense?
Just you're explaining more about Greg and
I'm telling
like
you about
a homeschool kid who didn't get socialized.
Yeah, he's not socialized. So, but he, you know, he's smarter than most kids. And so he's looking at everybody and seeing their absurdity through his cartoon irony, because he ran a cartoon company. He was in the business. He was successful enough to do it. And he worked with the greats, you know, so he's very good at all that. But it's kept him in the workaday world, the street world. He doesn't understand anything about university kind of talk, so he doesn't like that kind of talk, and he definitely doesn't understand me. So he is good at doing the people level. He knows the people dialects. And he needs to grow, but I can't make him grow. He's going to resist that. So you guys, and if Michael's there, Michael can do it. Don't talk about Ion. Talk about what he's missing. And he might have a tantrum or two, and he'll quit. He'll leave, but he'll come back because he's got nothing else. But it's better you guys piss him off than me.
I can feel immediately when he's
going
on.
Hold on, I'm not finished,
long,
Michael. But... Hold it, Mike. Hold what you're going to say.
Yeah.
He thinks I'm running the thing, and he's putting an old-fashioned, I'm running it, and he's there because I allow him there. So I'm trying to show him I'm not running it. It's not something. So he keeps waiting to be fired because he's always being fired, right? So he thinks I'm going to fire him. Well, I'm not going to fire him, even though he needs you know, to take in. Like, he doesn't listen. He comes on, bullshit, distracts somebody on the chat line, and then he goes. And he never hears the private session, doesn't learn anything. So you guys got to teach him the other quadrants, not Ion. You got to talk to him and criticize him or just say, hey, you're missing this and that. Force him to listen to you.
Okay.
So I wanted to say that. So what were you saying, Michael?
Time to do Bob on the show.
Yeah, and so don't sit back and fall asleep. That's not a good excuse. You stay awake by being more active. You don't have to be polite. Okay, Michael, what are you saying?
Yeah, I can feel when he's going on too long, and I have too been guilty of being polite and generous and carrying on. But
he's
now what I'm going to say is, okay, Huckleberry, and that's Chad, a signal to Chad that now we're going to gang up on him.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Barry, okay.
Go Barry Hound.
But you got to gang up with, you know, gang up without being obvious about it. You're not going to be, it's not to gang up on him.
We can just shift the conversation in a completely different direction without going to talking about iron or anything. We can just naturally shift somewhere else.
Exactly. The point is just to get out of this crystallization pattern of just reading fucking through the news headlines.
Yeah.
That's like morphine.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Greg is on there with Ian explaining Russia, and Greg is on there, if you look at the chat line, describing the battle between Ukraine, Russia, and Americans in journalistic terms, normal street bullshit. You know what I mean? And that's all, that's what he thinks about. So I posted, I said, Greg, your categories are all wrong. But you read what he wrote, that's what the average person thinks.
Yeah, he has a kind of passive-aggressive need for attention. Mm-hmm. It's like he's really needy for attention. And the way he gets it is by being an obstructive. And obviously that's the way it's worked in the past. So that needs to be completely ignored.
Wait a minute, Michael. I don't know if we need to ignore it. Here, I've noticed the pattern. It's his quadrophenia, right? He's got Mr. Cartoon. He's also got Mr. Journalist. So he goes Lelouch on you, right? Pay attention to which one it is. It's pretty easy.
Yes.
It's just basically bouncing across the tiny note quadrants.
Yes. No, brilliant, Chad. Brilliant.
So the other thing I wanted to say, you look at the chart, it gets more complex each ring. So it's very complex on the 14th ring. You need to play with your mind so you can play that level. I can come in and be very complex. So how can Ascended, whatever Ian, if he represents the Ascended state, how come he can do complex mind stuff? Well, he let it out of the bag. He plays with the mind. But look how complex he can get with it. So he can master any knowledge that we have in our complexities. You have to do that too. And that's what the 14th ring means. Look how complex the numbers that are on there.
You know, it would be a worthy project to try and accumulate all these discussions we've had on the angel chart and try and put them into one. The thing is finding out where they all are. But
well, you're translating into another medium. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. It's like writing out your dreams. We just do it every week. Yeah. We just keep talking it. And I keep saying, we only got three more fucking shows, for fuck's sake, and then all hell breaks out.
Plus all 14 rings, each ring has 14 degrees of freedom. So then again, they're going to be merging and, you know, circulating.
And separating.
Separating.
Remember, tactility, merging is a non-tactile image. Maybe it's proprioceptive. Tactility is connect, disconnect, connect, disconnect. So the connect can be merging with everything, and then you disconnect from everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the way your mind works, the way your cognition works. You're into something, then you recognize it. And that was the discussion someone tonight between, you know, consciousness and self-awareness or awareness. What is awareness? How is that different from consciousness? I think Carolyn, did Carolyn bring that up, or Linda or somebody? I think Linda brought
Linda.
It up.
I believe it was Linda.
Yeah. And first of all, it's two words. So the words create a division. So what are you? If there's no such thing as consciousness, what are you? Because you do feel that you're conscious. But maybe you don't think about it unless the words come up and someone else who knows the words can talk about it with you. But when you live, are you feeling split? No. If you're letting your thoughts flow and your emotions flow and you're just walking around doing stuff, you're just one entity, but you wouldn't make a concept out of it.
But the words give us, like in this, whatever this this weird thing that we're in called life or reality, in our thoughts, in our head, it's like the words give us something to push our thoughts against so that we can feel that there's some kind of resistance there. And it's not just like...
Yeah, that's
the
definition of tactility. You don't know you're feeling good until you stub your toe. So you have contrast. That's the role of contrast.
And what are we, question Bob, early on in the show, Ian was speaking to someone, I'm not sure, and about the symbiont host and saying,
yeah.
got to get rid of the host.
No, get rid of the symbiont.
Well, the symbiont was the little man. Yeah, you want to get rid of the symbiont, the little man.
Symbiont, yeah.
It flipped, yeah. It used to be in the beginning that the non-physical was the symbiont that was clinging to the host.
The intellectual way to look at it is that Ayn's always saying you're already there. You think you're not there through culture, conditioned responses, words, language, media. If you're not thinking and not engaging or just walking around swimming or something, you're just in the element, and you don't have anybody who's bugging you that you have to talk with. So you're not aware. You're just experiencing. So once you bring in a thought or talking, then you got two of you. So you're actually registering the extension, the words, the thoughts, the expression.
Well, you can be there. You can be there, like in silence, just thinking to yourself with your, you know, thinking with your neighbor. You're listening to your neighbor, but then if you talk, what is that? The like adding a third dimension to it.
It's a challenge. If you say anything to anybody, they're challenged to be civil, and you're interrupting their wonderful unconscious unity. So everybody, it's McLuhan's called the stress of civilization. You know, someone speaks to you, you have to put on the whole conditioning to decide what to say to that person. And if you're flowing along like me, I have many hours without anybody, and that's a lot of slack. And Ayn did a great satire tonight, Tombo, you know. He did a rant how I got too much slack, way too much slack. And so I don't have the irritation of interruption. But everybody else is getting interrupted all the time. So I can be real stupid. I don't have any concepts other than what my neighbor's saying to me, which I don't have to engage. And when I get an idea, it usually just comes to me. The neighbor gets the idea. Holy fuck, that's a good one, neighbor. You know, I didn't get it. The neighbor did.
So when you're talking about slack, you're mostly talking about slack from communication.
Yeah.
Like freed up from having to be interrupted.
Yeah, that's probably... in this modern city, no one has had as much time by themselves and still be within society and get away with it without any interruption as me. So maybe I've learned something about the slack condition that no human has had an opportunity to do while still communicating when I want to. I'm not a monk. You go off into the cave for 15 years and by yourself. That becomes too specialized. So
no, you're communicating, Bob. You're communicating possibly more than anyone else simultaneously, yeah.
Because I've had a chance to study the effects of all that non-interruption. So that's why I can afford to say and put down communication, which might confuse Maggie because she's an artist and creator and a communicator. Most people, a lot of people are like that, and they value communication. They would never see a disservice in communication. I'm around long enough not communicating that I saw a service in not communicating.
And you were able to get out of the water, like if you have a fish in the water, doesn't know the water?
I mean, I don't have any responsibilities. Like, you know, anybody who's, like Prince Charles, he has sort of a slack life, maybe, but he has a responsibility of occasionally being a king or a prince and going around and doing social stuff. I could be totally irresponsible, never show up in these shows or show up sporadically. So the only thing I'm being responsible about is being on time and showing up at these shows, but many hours of the day, I have nothing other than what I'm doing by myself with nothing. Carolyn's busy doing her stuff. She, in a way, has a lot of slack to do her own thing. So we don't interrupt each other very much. So I don't think anybody lives with another person with so much free time. And to accept the free time and do something quietly within it rather than running out to a bar or something, socializing. Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to mention. So there's this new interview about Zappa. These two guys interview musicians and technicians around Frank. And so George Duke and different people, they talk about what Frank's like, and it's unique because they're there. And most of them say that Frank was very quiet and spent a lot of time by himself. And he never went to parties, he never went to clubs, he didn't socialize, he didn't listen to pop TV, pop radio, he did watch C-SPAN, But he lived a very serious, active, communicating life by himself. And what's amazing in that, one of the people they interview is Arthur Slopeman, Gail Slope, Gail Zappa's brother. Now, I know something about the other brother, but I don't think I know this guy. And Jerry told me about the other brother. This guy, he lived there with Frank for 5 years or so. He did a lot of work in the synclavier and synth and stuff. And so he gets along his interview. It's totally new information, his story of interacting with Ion, and he's Gail's brother. And there's no talk about Gail. So I really recommend this. Where did you get it, Alyssa?
From your Facebook page.
Cool.
Oh, did I post it?
Evan shared it with you, and then it's.
What'd you say? Did I post it? I don't remember posting it.
No. Okay. It's on your Facebook wall because I'm friends with Evan. Evan Ray posted it to you, and so see that she shared it.
Evan found it. Yeah, Evan found it. That's right. So now when I click on it, SoundCloud, I start listening, and then if I stop it, I have to re-register and all this bullshit. So I can't go. I have to just let it run. I got to take an hour off and have no interruptions and let it run, because if I click on it and stop it, it won't go anymore, and I got to go back and start it over again. So I don't know if everybody has that problem with SoundCloud, but that was my thing. I was wondering if that's a problem, so I hadn't posted it yet.
Hey, Bob, I'm going to need you to unmute me in like a minute.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Bob, so for those of us that don't have the luxury of free time, how do you cope with the irritability of communicating with people?
Usually I only do it a couple times a week, so it's not a big problem. You know, it's interesting.
Bob doesn't know, Brent.
How would you suggest someone like myself, where I have to go to work and speak for, you know, I'm speaking to people for 6 or 7 hours a day, and the communication is straining. What are coping mechanisms to not make it so difficult and draining? Like, how do I approach it and not get run down by speaking to people?
You're a young person. You're fucked. You guys have to slave for 20 years or something, 20 to 40, until you get a higher management position, then you can hide. But you got to go through the work and you
got
to pay your dues.
That's all you got, Bob?
That's all I got. You're fucked up. You're young. There's no escape for young people. You got to work.
Yeah, but you can also understand that most of your clients there come in very emotional and
wants
your sympathy. And if you just cut that off and talk to them technically, not being bad or anything, but not playing into their emotions, because that's anchoring in you and draining you.
Here's the tough part about speaking technically, though, nowadays, is that
since everybody
has the internet,
Google,
and they're their own medical guru, you actually get into technical arguments with people that truly feel that they may know more than you or just as much as you. So it's actually really hard to be technical. It's almost easier to just buy into the emotions of, hey, I get it, you're really frustrated, I want you to feel better. But of course, at the end of the day, having to deal with that is hard, because I'm playing, think of like Carolyn's show when people walk in, people call in. You know, Ginny and Carolyn have this nice, like, smooth thing going on for the first hour, and if you've ever listened in the second hour, that's when people call in, and you notice how, like, broken up and jumbled it gets. And people are like, well, I did this, and it didn't work, and now I'm really tired. And, like, that's my job for 6 or 7 hours a day.
Yes.
And
I've had
really
that
difficult.
In school. I've had it in school. And then the parents come and say, why did you give me my very good son, bad grades, because he's a prick in the classroom and don't do his homework. And, you know.
Oh, my God. It's even worse. My girlfriend.
Yes, it is.
You can't even talk to the parents, and that's the biggest drain. And it's like, I don't know. How do you speak to these people and not get irritated? I mean, I just, at the end of the day, unfortunately, I'm left feeling like, oh, my God, people are so, like, fucked up, and I don't want to say I hate people, but some days I hate people.
Yes.
Well, that's
but
where we are
in
society.
Only...
That's why we're having a collision. That's why we're going to have nuclear war. We're going to get rid of all this shit. It's very bad, our society.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, Brent,
I shield yourself.
Brent, I
have
got some stuff to say to you, bro.
Yeah,
all right, all right. Let me check it out.
Oh, I forgot to do Chad. I think he had to wait extra fucking minute. Uh-oh.
Let
sorry,
me
Chad,
in.
I got distracted.
Let me in.
Chad even put his hand up twice. It wasn't looking good, was it, Chad? It looked like I had forgotten.
Yeah, I thought I was in the airlock when she had dropped out of the Galactica into outer space forever.
Oh, my God. Didn't Dream and that song, that is just, I treasure the image of that. The bright light. I see that dressing room as being super brightly lit, and everything is glittering and perfect, and they're singing that bizarre song.
What dressing room are you talking about? Your dressing room in
Ginny's
the future?
Dream.
No,
Ginny's
Dream.
Oh, Ginny's Dream.
When you
yeah.
played that song last night, it brought everything she said back, and it was so vivid for me. I was half asleep, and it was just incredible in my mind's eye. All the glittering jewel dresses that they're wearing, and this choir is singing, welcome the intergalactic whatever. Basic
yeah.
occupants, and it's to herald the king, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so amazing. Sorry.
Yep.
I'll shut up.
Yep.
Muting.
That was unnecessary, Madeline.
I wanted to say something earlier about the Kanye situation in regards
yeah.
to celebrities. Seems like there's a new class of celebrities, like after Kanye and them, and I get the sense that Kanye and Tucker and like these more like TV body related personalities, they seem to be a bit nervous because of new celebrities that have been made on TikTok. Like, for example, Jake Paul, this guy who him and his brother make these crazy videos like where they smash into shit and they're goofy all the time. But, I mean, they've got like 100 million followers. They're so big that the Boxing Federation decided to let Logan Paul fight against Floyd Mayweather, the heavyweight champion. And these guys are getting, guys like the Paul brothers are getting so big now that they can release their own products. Like they can sell their own cola to compete with Coca-Cola. They can create, Mr. Beast has created his own hamburger chain to compete with McDonald's and Burger King. So they kind of just came with the power of TikTok behind them and also the YouTube gamer universe. And they've been able to just kind of lap these other celebrities from the, like, 2000s.
Wow.
So it seems like there's... When I look at Kanye, it's like he's frustrated because he's trying to stay ahead of it, but you can't. It's like these guys who came in on the new wave, they're just on a whole different level. And
yeah, he makes a big deal about being a billionaire. He can't accept the transient. Oh, yeah? Anybody can become a billionaire and be in the scene for a couple of years, but then you're gone, and you got to drop it all. You got to figure out what to do with yourself on another level. He thinks he's somebody and he has to do something, so he started a religion.
Right.
He's trying to hold on to his 15 minutes and make it go, 30 minutes.
But here's the thing. So TikTok, unlike any other social media platform, it doesn't really favor people based on how many followers they have. So anybody could get on there, Michael could get on TikTok and make a video, and let's say most of his videos only get 100 views, but he could have one video that gets 10 million views, right? So it gives everybody the opportunity to go viral. So it's the whole, like, everybody will be famous for 15 minutes thing. So it's like communist distribution of fame. So everybody has the opportunity. So that kind of levels the playing field away from people like Kanye. being important for very long.
Yeah.
Plus you can pay for clicks.
Yeah.
That's right. It's all bullshit. It's a poor person's opiate. You know, that's the problem. He is trying to keep his... he thinks he's still worth being famous. See, they don't know where to go. Where are they going to go if they don't have that? They don't know where to go.
Yeah, it's hard once you've had that high.
See, I figured out what to do with myself. Now I can be famous. Doesn't matter. I don't need it.
100 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, they often talk people in their 60s, 70s to become famous. Oh, he's a late bloomer. Well, I'm going to be the greatest or longest late bloomer. 150 years old. Bloomer. He just showed up. I just made it.
Yeah, the ultimate statement in this ageist society.
The what? What'd you say?
Well, it's an ageist society, so you're the oldest bloomer ever there.
That's right.
It's better being a late bloomer than blooming late.
Yes, exactly.
Bob, read the chat line.
What did you make of the David Lynch weather forecasts, Bob?
That was nutty. I saw that.
I wanted to say something.
Hey, you know what? I just thought that I'm going to be so incredible on so many fronts that people are going to be, they're going to go, there's something fucking interesting about that guy. I don't know what it is. I'll be breaking so many records in so many areas that they won't know how to talk about me. You watch, everybody will be stunned.
That Ion couldn't talk on the tailgate because it wasn't recorded, but now it's recorded and archived. Why can't we just bypass the stupid chat thing and let Ion on?
Well, we need to translate. Ion doesn't want to. Ion could have changed that 2 years ago, but Ion doesn't want to.
Yeah. Then they complain.
He probably thinks it's important. It's important to have the tailgate.
It's important to have, and important to have the intensity, like have your shit together and be ready to ask questions and.
Because this is Bob.
Reference to what? Reference to me? Are you talking about tailgate?
I am. But it's weird that, you know, now it's recorded and archived and accessible by the public. And
because
yet
it's Bob time, Maggie.
It's Bob time. Yeah, I get that. Okay. Yeah, it would be very different. And it kind
of you can't have Ion talking. It's just all confusing bullshit. You know, flashes of interesting pattern, but he spends a lot of time digressing into stupid stuff and old cliche stuff and replaying shit. No, it's all ridiculous.
We need the Bob to decompress from that. That's true. What am I saying? I'll shut up. I'm muting again.
Yeah, shut up again.
Don't do press ups.
Push ups.
It's going to be interesting, Bob, when you break surface on mainstream as such, and particularly for each of us here with families and friends who we've tried to talk to about Ion and Bob, and they just hit a brick wall and cynicism and God knows what else, and suddenly this guy Bob is in their face. And so somebody will turn around and say, is that the guy you've been following for the last 10 years?
That's going to be a lot of fun for you. You'll just say quietly, that's him. Absolutely. Very quietly, humbly, yep, that's him. And they'll look at you and they'll look at
you. Yeah, we thought you were insane.
Fuck. This guy's the greatest human ever. This is Jesus Christ. And you were hanging out with Jesus. I was going to church and I was going to the wrong place. And you were hanging out with the real Jesus.
Yeah, and we have asked them to listen to Jesus too, and it didn't work.
No. Now, we have another thing. I don't know when we're going to be known or accessible. We have a lot of hiding to do right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know how, we have to wait to see about the alien contact. That'll be something.
How did it go at the wall, Bob? How did it go at the wall?
I didn't go tonight.
What?
Yet.
What?
No. We got distracted, so I didn't do it.
we were almost thinking, oh, he's off in that car already.
In that car?
Yeah. We've got a car that is coming up to
what car? You mean the angel car?
Yeah. Or an alien car.
The what car?
You've had the car come to you, close to you several times.
Yeah, twice.
So were you going to jump into that car, or were you going to go in through the wall?
No, I wasn't going to get in that car, and Ian told me the second time not to do it. I think I asked about it the second time. I can't remember, but if this is the third time. But what's remarkable, it happened a few weeks ago twice. It's never happened again. So what is those two times? That's really meaningful that there were it happened twice and had this strange effect and then never happened again. So what is it? It wasn't it means it wasn't a worker coming out to do something on the yard.
Yeah, it sounded
as if coming out.
Sounded like surveillance. Where is he exactly?
Yeah, and then the other guy who was coming up to the driveway, he's not around anymore. And I'm out there every night, so I will catch him the night he comes. And he hasn't been there in a month or two. So it's interesting that they seem to be anomalies. They're not regular civilizational things.
Yep.
So worth meditating on. Oh, the cat. I haven't seen the cat in a month, but I went out last night, and then all of a sudden, there's the cat tearing along the wall to run to the end to hide in the bushes. So it showed up, but it ran as soon as it saw me. And this is ridiculous. The cat was not running for 6-7 months. Now it runs. What is it afraid of? Now, Ian said that they scared him off. What did Ian do? We do a big Halloween mask on the cat and just scared the shit out of him so the cat doesn't come in this area anymore?
Peed in his face?
Yeah. It probably did something. Is that what cats do? When they get aggressive, they piss at the other guy's face?
or on your shoes, if you're not kind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can be interesting.
They know that bothers you, eh? They know it bothers you if you piss on their shoes.
Well, they're trying to make you their territory. Marking their territory.
I see. And getting you to back off.
Yes.
Hey, Ian cleared up something on chat. Hey, hold on. I want to say this.
Yeah, sure.
Say this for a little bit. Something up on chat, and I might be late to the game, but they just made a clear distinction what post-Mary McLuhan means.
Who did?
Ion.
On the chat?
It was when I was talking about the different kinds of, like, there's the Kanye level of celebrity, and then there's the ones after Kanye, like on TikTok.
Yeah, so what are you? I have to update my chat to see what I'm missing?
Mm-hmm.
It was a while back. It says, where'd it go? Post Mary McLuhan, Chad, the baby baked potatoes with legs. You know, TikTok type video is beating CNN right now. So
leading CNN or something. You're saying?
Yeah, beating BEATING.
Leading.
No, beating.
Bleeding.
The bigger than CNN.
Looking, more people are looking at the TikTok than CNN. And then.
And what's the verb you're saying? Leading, bleeding, seeding, meeting?
Beating. B-E-A-T-I-N-G.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I see Ian has posted stuff since I was way back up there.
Yeah,
see that?
So
Ian called. Ian says, Bob,
McLuhan.
The motherfucker could go on for 50 hours. I can bug you guys. I can get off anytime I want. I don't get bugged, but you guys get bugged by me, so I'm interrupting, taking away your slack. So what's that mean? Post Mary McLuhan, Chad. The baby baked potatoes with legs is beating CNN. The baby baked potatoes with legs.
Legs, okay.
Was that
okay,
the
so
time you were talking?
That was when I was talking about the TikTok celebrity versus the like TV celebrity.
The baby baked potatoes with legs is beating. Oh, the baby, that's bullshit TikToks.
Yeah.
Yeah, a TikTok of somebody with baby baked potatoes with legs on them is doing better than CNN.
You see, it doesn't matter if you got 2 billion people or 3 people. It doesn't mean anything. It does prop up capitalism, but that's getting hard to be propped up since it's not there anymore. So communication is obsolete. That's why they're giving money to in the final days as you speed up going down the drain, the final days of communication, they're going to give billions to the nobodies to make it more attractive.
The baby baked potato.
TikTok does that. They have the TikTok creator fund. And anybody who gets over a certain number of views in their videos just gets that money.
They get what? Some money from TikTok?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, see? So it's a con. People need to wake up. It's more important not to communicate today and to celebrate the values of not communicating, not being creative. But, you know, your average greedy kid will do anything to get famous and get money because they live in fear. They don't have any fucking slack, and they think if they get some adult state of some acquisition or something and no need to work, they think that'll give them slack.
And Ian has mocked that several times, saying people cannot leave their telephone outside the toilet because they need to live stream everything, and live streaming gives you more clicks, so that will increase your money flow. And
look at what Ian. Bob fucks. Ian fucks up the sentence. Bob is you are a baby baked potato with the. Okay, where do we drop the is?
Exactly.
What do you have to lose? What does that mean? Okay, if I'm a baby, what do I have? I never indicated I had anything to fucking lose. I'll be the most famous person ever on Tuesdays. That's all. Wednesday, I walk to the beach. On Wednesday, I'll be in office hours with fucking idiots trying to ignore the news stories. But it'll be something to do. You know, it's different. I mean, you know, Robert Redford, all these idiots, they all get specialized and locked away. I mean, there was a community outside of New York City where all the stars lived. They all lived in the same little suburb. They had to deal with each other. I remember back in 1970 or something, I was walking along in L.A., and there was a field. And all these guys were playing soccer, and I started to notice they were famous rock musicians. So they hung out with each other. They couldn't go anywhere. They had to have their own little lives because fans would mob them. So, see, you don't want to be famous like that, or at least back then. I don't know now. It's too many people. Nobody's listening. They're not making stars anymore. Everybody's too busy trying to hit the jackpot and be a star for a minute.
Exactly. That's what TikTok delivers, though. It's not so much that it gives people content to watch. It's also that it's a place for people to go and think that they're going viral, to feel like they're famous.
Right. And remember what Ian said. They said in the private session, they like TikTok because it gets millions of people faster than CNN does. And now Ian claims they're making 1 million YouTubes or TikToks a day. So Ian is communicating. The biggest communicator is Ion. If all the TikToks and the ones he sends Bert's have often Ionic themes that illustrate these people were zombies that Ion was their neighbor, get in their head, and they got inspired to make a TikTok, and they put it out. So you get 10 a day that we see from Bert. They are made by Ion, created by Ion. And Ion's saying he's doing it all over the place on all maybe others, targeting other audiences. So Ion is communicating the most. He did the most Hollywood the last 10 years. Now he's doing the most TikTok. So Ian is in charge, as he always claims he is.
Bob, read the chat.
Hollywood is over. Bob, Louis Richard Rukeyser did, so see, I'm the only guy here who knows who Rukeyser is. He did Wall Street Week in the late 70s, early 80s. So he's a nice, respectable, aristocratic kind of guy, and he made, right when people were